PowerPoint sound people, couldn't live without you. Thank you. Yeah. If you've come prepared to receive or give your tithe and offerings today, there's a couple black boxes in the back. You can do that. Or we have some digital forms. Do we have that that slide with all the digital ways to give? If you're under like 30 or 35, you don't even know what a checkbook is, right? How many people here have ever balanced a checkbook? Let me see your hands. Well, that's quite a few, but there's like 25% that don't even know what a checkbook is, never written a check. it's like Apple Pay and Venmo and everything digital. And so we got to go with the flow. And there's digital ways to give to the Lord as well. Let me pray over your finances. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to give and sow. We know that when we give, it's not a debt we owe. It's a seed that we sow into good ground that brings a harvest some 30, 60, 100 fold. Bless your people abundantly. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Bobby mentioned that we just finished the first week of fasting of 2 weeks. And there is time to jump in. And the prayer meetings are going to be Monday through Friday up in the prayer room. And it lasts from noon to 1. So if you can steal away at lunch hour, or if you happen to have a day off, come up and join. It's been very powerful times. We've had 15, 16, 17, 18 people joining us. And, you know, I've done some study. I'm going to talk about prayer and fasting today. And as I've looked at the scriptures, I noticed when there was a fast that was called, everybody got involved. I mean, like maybe the whole nation or a whole group or a whole church, and everybody just jumped in. There's something powerful when we all jump in and join in what the Lord is doing. Now, I said I'm going to be talking about fasting, and that might not be the most inspirational topic to you, but I bring it because when we step into fasting, it brings some rewards and benefits that nothing else in our Christian experience will bring. There's just something that happens, some blessings that come, some breakthroughs that come that will not come any other way except through prayer and fasting. What is fasting? It's voluntarily abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. Like Bobby said, if you fast but you don't pray, you're just on a crash diet, right? There's a lot of health benefits from fasting. You know, the world, secular world, has discovered fasting. And one of the big things is intermittent fasting. You heard that? A lot of people fast from like 6 o'clock when they finish dinner till maybe noon the next day, and 16, 18 hours. And man, they've discovered there's all kinds of health benefits. People get cured from illnesses just simply through fasting. But that's not why we're doing it. That's just an extra benefit. We're doing it for spiritual reasons. We're seeking God. We want breakthrough. We want change in our life. We want to see the blessing of God. We want to experience the rewards that God has for us. So why do we fast? I want to give you a couple reasons today and probably finish this next week. Number one, there's a pattern and a precedent in the Bible for fasting. Number one, Jesus fasted. And if Jesus fasted, if Jesus felt the need to fast and pray, that maybe we need to fast and pray too. Maybe there's something there that we could benefit. Also, Jesus expected his disciples to fast. His 12 disciples, when Jesus was questioned, you know, the Pharisees are fasting, John's disciples are fasting, how come your disciples aren't fasting? He said, well, how can they fast when the bridegroom, speaking of himself, is with them? But when I go, when I ascend back into heaven, it says, then they will fast. He expected his disciples to fast. And then the Apostle Paul fasted. 2 Corinthians 11:27 said he fasted often. Often means frequently. It means it's a regular occurrence. We start off with this fast every year, and it's a great thing, but I really believe God would have us incorporate fasting into our lifestyle, that we just prayer and fasting all through the year. I mean, I'm going to experience the benefits of it now and in the next few weeks, but I want to experience the benefits all year long. Amen. It's interesting to me that John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist movement, he would not ordain a pastor to the ministry in the Methodist organization unless they committed to fast every Wednesday and Friday until 4 p.m., which in England, where he was from, was tea time. 3, 4 p.m. was tea time. And so they would have to, you know, they ate dinner the night before, and then they would fast until 3 or 4 p.m. And unless they committed to do that, on a regular basis, a weekly basis, he said, man, you're not going to be part of the Methodist movement. He understood the power of it. And then Jesus expected all of his followers to fast. In Sermon on the Mount, you know, he talked about when you pray, how many believe we ought to pray? And he said, when you give, how many believe we ought to give to the Lord? And then almost the same breath, he said, when you fast. And so many times we read when you pray, when you give, and then we read if you feel like fasting. But that's not what the scripture says. Jesus said when, all in the same breath. He expected it. And then the early church fasted, which is really our model. You know, read through the book of Acts, the early church. We want to be like the early church. They had a power. They had a dimension. They had a grace that was on that church, that early church that we want to recapture. And the early church fasted. You can read, there's many scriptures there. So here's the second reason. We're going to get into it. Here's the second reason that we fast. There are great benefits and rewards from fasting and prayer. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:17, he said, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you will not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret. And then when your Father who sees in secret, he will reward you openly. What's he going to do? He's going to reward you. He's going to what you do in secret, what you do in private, not to draw attention to yourself, but you're just seeking the Lord, and he sees that, and he's going to reward you openly. Everybody's going to be able to see the rewards that God is pouring on your life as a result of your private fasting and prayer. I like rewards, don't you?
Yes, yes.
I think I shared this before, but I heard about a woman who opened her front door. She was headed out one morning to get her newspaper from the newspaper box, and there was a little dog that she never recognized sitting on her front porch with her newspaper in his mouth. He had retrieved it somehow from the box and brought it up to the porch. And she was astounded by that. She was so happy, and she petted him, gave him some treats, and that was it. The next day she comes out, headed to the mailbox or the newspaper box. And there was a dog sitting on the porch, wagging his tail, with 8 newspapers. He had got all the neighbors' newspapers. She spent the rest of the morning returning her neighbors' newspapers. Everybody likes rewards, right? And I want to give you some of the rewards today. I'm going to give you 4 rewards for prayer and fasting. I've actually got 8, but like I said, we'll probably finish it next week. But here's the first reward. Fasting is a means of humbling our soul. Well, Pastor, that doesn't sound like much of a reward to me. You'd be surprised. There's a tremendous amount of rewards for walking in humility before God and for others. God rewards humility. Psalms 35:13, David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. Why is it important to humble our soul with fasting? Well, here's one reason. Pride is one of the biggest problems that we deal with as human beings, as a human race. Pride is behind most of the conflicts that you have in your marriage or your relationships. Let me talk to this group. They're not paying attention. Pride is behind most of the relationship conflicts that you're having in your home. And I'm going to prove that here in a minute. Pride, you have pride when you have a hard time admitting when you're wrong. You have pride when you have a hard time yielding to the will or the needs or the desires of other people. You know, the Bible says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And if you just have a hard time submitting to anybody, you don't like anybody telling you what to do or how to do it, and it's my way or the highway, well, you got a big case of pride there. That's what's going on. This is a transcript of a radio conversation that occurred between a U.S. naval ship and with Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland back in October of 1995. So this is the first transmission from the American Navy. Please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid collision. Canadians, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid collision. American Navy, this is the captain of the U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. Canadians, no. I say you divert your course. American Navy. I think the captain's getting ticked off now. This is the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by 3 destroyers, 3 cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north, that is 1 degree north, or 15 degree north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of your ship. Canadians, this is a lighthouse. Your call. And many relationships and many couples are on a collision course simply because of pride. There's a tremendous amount of strife in homes. And Joyce Meyer wrote a book a number of years ago on strife. And she defined strife as this undercurrent, this constant undercurrent of anger and bitterness and resentment. It's always there, even though it may not be always verbally expressed. It maybe doesn't come out in argumentation. You may be stuffing that down, but it's this constant undercurrent of anger and strife and bitterness and resentment. And I'm telling you, if you've got that going on, it is an open door to the enemy. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, get rid of all of your anger so that you don't give opportunity for the enemy to come into your life. It's an open door. It allows the devil, allows demonic forces to come into your heart, into your life, into your home and wreak havoc. Where does strife come from? Proverbs 13:10, where there is strife, there is pride. I told you I was going to prove it to you. From the scripture, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who humbly take advice. Oh boy. One of the greatest ways you can improve your relationships is just learn how to humble yourself. Get humble. Get humble. There's other benefits of humility though. Let me share some of them. Here's one. We become more like Jesus. Jesus defined himself. He described himself in Matthew 11:28 as being gentle and humble in heart. And so the more humble we get, the more like Jesus we become. And then God gives grace to the humble. How many need more grace? Grace is defined as the power and desire to do God's will. I need God's grace. We all need God's grace. The more humble we get, the more grace God pours in. And then God promotes the humble. This is James 4:10. God promotes the humble. He resists the proud, but he lifts up and exalts those who are humble. You don't have to promote yourself. There's so many people that are constantly trying to promote themselves. And in the process, put others down. You don't have to do that. Let God promote you. And then you don't have to fight for it. You don't have to hold on to it. You just humble yourself, take the low road, and let God promote you, and then he will keep you there wherever he promotes you. Amen? And then here's another one, another benefit. God dwells with the humble. I love the scripture, Isaiah 57:15. God says, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. So God dwells in 2 places, according to scripture. He dwells in heaven. We all know that. He dwells up in heaven. Where else does he dwell? He dwells with the humble. That's what the scripture says. God likes to hang out with humble people. I mean, I know God is everywhere present, we know that, but in terms of him just enjoying to hang out in certain places, man, he hangs out in the heavens for sure, but he also likes hanging out with humble people. And then finally, God revives the spirit of the humble. How many could use a personal revival? I could. I mean, we get filled with spirit, but unfortunately, we leak. You go through life, and it just seems like life takes it out of you. We all need a personal revival from time to time. And God says that he revives the heart, the life of the humble. Praise God. Here's a second benefit. Fasting activates spiritual power. Mark 4 tells the story of a father who brings his son to Jesus' disciples to get delivered and to get cured. He's got a demonic spirit that's made him deaf and mute, and also has given him a condition that's kind of like epilepsy. He gets into these seizures and he gets thrown down on the ground, and sometimes this spirit will throw him into the fire, sometimes in the water, trying to kill him. And so the father, he doesn't know what to do. There's nothing he can do. He's probably taking him to all the doctors. They can't cure him. And so he hears about Jesus and the disciples, takes his son to the disciples, and the disciples pray. And listen, Jesus had already commissioned them to cast out demons and heal the sick. But for whatever reason, they can't cure this boy. They can't cast the demon out. Jesus comes on the scene. He's on the mountain with Peter and James and John, and he's transfigured, and his clothes turn white. It's just a glory experience. Well, he comes down off the mountain, and he sees this commotion. He walks over. What's going on? And finds out that this father had brought the son. And so Jesus, long story short, he casts this demon out of this boy, completely heals him and cures him. No more mute, no more deaf, no more epilepsy, no more seizures. He's absolutely cured. Well, later, his disciples come up to him and said, Jesus, we don't understand. How come we couldn't get that demon out? And this is what Jesus says in Mark 9, verse 29. He said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Fasting and prayer activates the spiritual power and authority that God wants us to walk in on a regular basis. Jesus knows what he's talking about here because he fasted for 40 days, right? 40 days and nights. And really, in some ways, to activate the power of the Holy Spirit that was upon him. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. I don't know if you've seen this before, but in Luke 4, verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus, listen, full of the Holy Spirit. I guess I don't have this up there, but it says Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say full of the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus, he had been baptized. Holy Spirit came upon him. God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Full of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness for this time of fasting and prayer, knowing that he's going to be tested, knowing he's going to be tempted by the enemy. But I want you to notice that phrase, that he went into that situation full of the Holy Spirit. And he endured the temptations of the enemy. He finishes the fast, overcomes the enemy. Now listen to what it says in Luke 4, verse 13. It says, when the devil had ended all the temptations, Jesus departed from him until another time. Verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and his fame went throughout the surrounding regions and began to heal the sick and cast out demons and open blind eyes and raise the dead. He went into that situation full of the Holy Spirit. He came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are two different things. What happened in between? Fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. It activated the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It'll do the same for us as well. Dick Mills he's passed away now, but he's a Bible scholar and he was a Bible teacher and wrote some incredible books and devotionals. But he said this, fasting and prayer is the power base for moving in the realm of the supernatural. And he went on to say this, fasting activates the believer's power and authority over the powers of darkness. Fasting will release the power of God in ways not otherwise possible. We see this principle also in Isaiah 58. The entire chapter of Isaiah 58 is about prayer and fasting and seeing bound people set free. And it says this, Isaiah 58, verse 6, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, God says, to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and to break every yoke. How many think those are good things? Yeah. How many think that's what the church ought to be about? Yeah. How many think that's what you ought to be about? Yeah. Loosing the chains of injustice, untying the cords of the yoke, setting the oppressed free, and breaking every yoke. Dick Mills again says, fasting makes possible great deliverances. It breaks yokes, delivers captives, frees prisoners, and releases God's power in our life. If this is the fast that God has chosen to see people set free, how many think we ought to choose it too? Here's the third benefit of fasting and prayer, it will stir up a spiritual hunger on the inside of you. It really will. It will stir up a spiritual hunger. God's given every human being a spiritual hunger. And that hunger is designed to move us toward God. How many go to your refrigerator out of duty? You set your watch or you set your alarm, a little beeper goes off. Well, it's noon and I'm not hungry, but I'm going to go to the refrigerator and eat anyway. Does that happen? Doesn't happen to me. Doesn't happen in my house. Why do you go to the refrigerator? Hunger. That hunger compels you. That hunger drives you to the refrigerator. In the same way, the hunger that God placed in us is there. God designed it to move us, to drive us, to compel us to move toward Him and to allow Him to fill that empty void on the inside. I truly believe that God's created every human being with a God-shaped void that only God can fill. I know I say that all the time, but I totally believe it. There's a God-shaped void in every human being, whether you're born again or not, Christian or not, that only God can fill. And we try to fill that void, that appetite, with so many different things. We fill it with pleasure. We fill it with entertainment, sex, and yes, even food. Try to fill that spiritual hunger with physical food. But when we do that, we're just stifling the spiritual hunger that God's placed within us. You know, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I can recall evenings when I've had a good meal. My wife is a great cook. I appreciate her. And had a great meal, and it's later on in the evening, and I don't know, I'm just kind of feeling restless and discontent, and so I go to the refrigerator, and I open the door, and I peer in at all the different shelves and what's in there. And really, I'm not hungry, but I'm just kind of restless or discontented. Sometimes I end up just eating some junk food that my body doesn't need at all. And one day I was doing that, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and reminded me that what I'm feeling right now is not a physical hunger, but a spiritual hunger. And the only thing that's going to satisfy that is not anything in that refrigerator, but is spending time with the Lord, getting into God's presence, reading, feeding on His Word, getting into worship, getting into prayer, and allowing the presence of God to satisfy and fill the deepest appetite and longing of our heart. Amen? And here's the fourth benefit. Fasting releases God's guidance and direction in our life. Paul and Barnabas, in Acts 13 and thereabouts, were fairly new Christians, and they were seeking God about direction for their life. They were eager to serve God. They wanted to serve God. They said, Lord, here I am. Man, if you can use anybody, you can use me. Here I am. I want to be used by the Holy Spirit. I want to make a difference in life. So that was their attitude. But the problem was they didn't know what God wanted them to do. They had no idea what God's will was for their life, other than a general, you know, bless people and reach people. But they didn't really have any specific direction for their life. And instead of just running off willy-nilly like so many people do, they really don't have a leading. They haven't heard God speak to them. They have no direction from the Holy Spirit, but they just take off and do something. And a lot of times, that just ends in a dead road. I've watched it over and over again. I've been a Christian for 44, 45 years, something like that. I've just watched people take off and do something without the word of the Lord, without direction in their life. Now, I'm not talking about God's going to give you the writing on the wall and lay out every step. But, you know, we can have a peace in our heart. We can have a sense of direction that God's moving us in a certain way, in a certain path. And so Paul and Barnabas, instead of just running off willy-nilly, they get together with some other Christians, and they have a season, a time of fasting and prayer and worship. And in that atmosphere, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and revealed specific direction for their life. We find this in Acts 13, verse 1 through 3. It says, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, and it goes ahead and lists their names, and Saul, who later was renamed Paul. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. What were they doing? What were they doing? Worshiping the Lord and fasting. And in that atmosphere, the Holy Spirit said. That's what it said. While they were worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. The most important word, the most important voice that we can hear is the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of voices going on in our lives. We got our family, we got our work, we got our friends, folks at church, media, all these voices coming at us. And sometimes it can just clutter our brain to the point we can't even hear the Holy Spirit. That's one of the purposes of fasting and prayer. And by the way, Bobby and I, we fast entertainment. We turn secular TV off. We turn social media off. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear the Holy Spirit. The most important voice that we can hear is the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's got the wisdom that you need.
Yeah.
For that solution, that situation that you're dealing with. He's got the answers. He's got the healing that you need. Psalms 107 said that he sent his word and it healed them.
Yeah.
The word of God can actually heal you.
Yeah.
If you hear it, if you receive it, you might be having a health situation right now. What you need is a word from God. What you need is the Holy Spirit to illuminate one of the promises and the principles and the revelation, the truth about healing that's already written in God's word, to take that off the page and put it in your heart. Like Frank said, to get it out of your head and get it in your heart. Because that will change the situation. You get the word of God in your heart. It doesn't matter what the symptoms are. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Nothing may have changed on the outside, but when you got the word on the inside, that's all that matters. I've heard God say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Hallelujah. I've got the confidence that God is in control, that he's working in the situation, and it's all going to turn out all right. But first you need the word. You got to get the word. Fasting and worshiping in the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them. And after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And listen, the Holy Spirit's direction here released Paul and Barnabas into their very first missionary journey. And everything, almost most of the books in the New Testament are written as a result of Paul and Barnabas' missionary journeys and their encounters. And it's powerful. I mean, they got people saved. They established churches. I mean, they spread the gospel in the known world as a result of a season of prayer and fasting when the Holy Spirit said and gave them direction. And there's so many folks that are just struggling. One of the greatest prayer requests that I hear, Pastor, I want to know God's will for my life. I don't know God's will for my life. What does he want me to do? Well, I encourage you to take some time, pray and fast, and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. He might illuminate a scripture as you're just reading. It might be a still small voice. There's a lot of different ways that God speaks. It might be even prophetic. This word probably came through some prophets, because the scripture said there were some prophets that were there, prophets and teachers. And so my thinking is probably there was a prophetic word. The Holy Spirit spoke, but he spoke through one of these prophets to Paul and Barnabas and released the direction that the Holy Spirit had for their life. I don't know if you know the name Gary Smalley. There's two Gary Smalleys. His son is still alive and he's a minister, he's a counselor. But his father, Gary Smalley Sr., I guess, was a well-known author and counselor and minister. He had a national ministry, probably an international ministry. Just wrote a number of incredible books on marriage and relationships, and just had a fantastic ministry over many, many years, many decades. But when he was a young man, he was in business with a partner, another gentleman. And somewhere along the line, this partner cheated him out of his half of the business. I don't remember all the details. I read that story many years ago, but cheated him out, and he had nothing left. And he was just heartbroken because he had poured his life and his soul and sweat and blood into that, and all of his money, and all of a sudden, it was all gone. He had nothing, nothing for the future, didn't know what he was going to do. And so he had this rental house that was vacant, and all the utilities were turned off. And I think it was must have been summertime. And so he filled up several milk jugs full of water, drinking water, and he went over to that rental house, and he locked himself in there for 2 days. All he had was water, no food. He had his Bible, he had a notebook. And he spent hours praying and reading the Bible and seeking God and asking what God wanted. And in that 2 days, God began to outline the ministry that he had for him, began to unfold the books that he wanted him to read and the direction, the counseling ministry and all this stuff. God began to unfold that and began to write it down. And he walked out of that rental unit with a new purpose, a fresh purpose, a direction in his heart, and he just simply carried that out for the next 40 years. What would have happened if he wouldn't have done that? Who knows? He probably would have just tried to figure out, well, what's the next best thing to do without getting God's mind on it, God's heart, and God's direction. It's so important that we hear from God. What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you today through this message? What is he speaking to you about? I want you to think about that for a moment. What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Do you need direction? Do you need your spiritual hunger stirred up? You've just kind of been placid, kind of leveled off. No real hunger, no real drive to seek the Lord. Well, you need that spiritual hunger stirred up on the inside. You need to see more power in your life? I do. I want to see more power. In 2025, I want to see more people healed. I want to see more people delivered. Do we want to see more people saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, discipled in 2025? Amen. I want to fill this room up twice on a Sunday morning. And then we'll go from there. There's 8,000 unchurched people in the Dalles, unsaved people. We live in a mission field. We got 16,000 population, half of them are unsaved and unchurched. So we live in a mission field. Your neighborhood is a mission field. Your workplace is a mission field. I want to see those people saved. One of the ways they're going to get saved is when we actually demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. When there's signs and wonders. And the Bible said that when we preach the word, signs and wonders should follow. We ought to be laying our hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Now, thank God, we have some testimonies. But we need some more. I want to hear. I'd like to hear a testimony of healing every Sunday morning. Get up here and share your testimony. How God absolutely healed you miraculously. We need to see some people delivered and set free. I've been praying this in our noon prayer meeting or our noon and evening prayer meeting. We had one night where we just prayed over addictions, prayed over people who are addicted, and asking God to set people free from the power of addiction. And I said this, I'm thankful for the ministries and the programs that are out in our community designed to help people get free from addictions, like the 12-step, and there's a group that's trying to start a Christian recovery group, Celebrate Recovery, in the Dalles again. We had one for 10 years here, and I'm grateful for these, but I'm looking forward to the day when an addicted person walks in here addicted, but he walks out free. Yes. By the power of the Holy Spirit. That God in a moment comes into his life and sets him free from the power of that addiction and from those demonic forces that usually are there connected with that. Hallelujah. Well, we got one more week. And I encourage you to jump in and to join us. If you can join us with corporate prayer at noon. We're also going to be here Saturday night at 6:30. If the daytimes don't work for you. But let's stand today. What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's just open our heart to the Lord before we go today. And just in the stillness of your heart, raise your hands and just quiet your mind. Restaurants are going to be there. Lunch is going to be there. Just quiet your mind before the Lord. Holy Spirit, we need your word. We need to hear your voice more than any other. Would you speak to your people today? I'm just going to give us a moment here just to be quiet in God's presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just welcome the Holy Spirit. He's here. He's here right now to touch you, to minister to you. Thank you, Lord. We welcome the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, come like a wind today, Lord. Come like a wind, Holy Spirit. Blow through our hearts. Refresh us. Renew us. Revive us. Oh, how we need you, Lord. How we need you. More than the food we eat, more than the water we drink, more than the breath that we breathe. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Gentle Holy Spirit. Gentle Holy Spirit. Come and touch your people today. Rain upon our hearts. Rain upon our hearts, oh God. Rain upon our hearts. Rain upon our hearts, oh God. Cleanse us. Wash us. Renew us. Restore us. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. You are welcome in this place today. Jesus. We love you. Jesus. You are welcome in this place, oh God. Come and walk among us. Just one touch from the Master, that's all we need. God, we reach out and touch the hem of your garment today. Let your power flow into the hearts and lives of your people. Bring healing, freedom, deliverance. Set the captives free. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Can we just raise our hand and just begin to vocalize praise and worship to God this morning? We love you, Lord. We honor you in this place today. You are welcome in this place, oh God. You're welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love your name, oh God. We give you all our praise. We give you all our praise, all our praise, all our worship. Lord, we adore your holy name, oh God. Lift up your voice. Sometimes the enemy would intimidate us. Just lift up our voice. Don't be silent. Oh, we worship your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you, mighty God. Great deliverer. Hope of salvation, the bread of life. We love you, Lord. We worship your holy name, oh God. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, reign, reign, reign. Reign in this place today, Lord. Reign upon our thirsty hearts. Reign upon our hearts. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just sense that there's some hungry people here today. If you're hungry for more of the Lord, just come up front and raise your hands as an indication to God that you're hungry, and let Him begin to touch you today. Hallelujah. Oh, pour out your Spirit, oh God. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We say more, God. More, Lord. More of you. Let that river flow. Let that river flow. Let your river flow in this place, oh God, today. Hallelujah. 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 God, we want more. We want more. Prayer team, come and pray with them. Hallelujah. We want more, Lord. We want more. We're not satisfied with what we've had. There's more. There's more of you. There's breakthrough that's available. Hallelujah. There's freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We praise your holy name, oh God. We praise your holy name, oh God. We praise your holy name, O Lord, King of all kings and Lord of all lords, bright and morning star. Hallelujah. God, you're so beautiful, beautiful beyond description. Hallelujah. Marvelous beyond words. We proclaim your greatness today. We proclaim your power today. Hallelujah. We proclaim your lordship over our lives today. I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. No weapon of addiction, no weapon of sickness or disease, no weapon of depression. It will not prevail against us. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say more, Lord, more, Lord, more, Lord. Fill him. Fill him to overflowing out of his innermost being. Let there flow rivers of living water. Break forth, break forth, break forth.